Chapter 5, Continued. Try as he might, in the subsequent days, Shen Qingqiu couldn't feel as though he had a very good handle on the situation anymore. It just seemed like this story really was a mess. And he had made an even worse one of it. First, he had thought Luo Binghe was a side character. Then, he had thought he was dead. Finally, he had thought that the man was destined to end up with Liu Qingge. But it all turned out that Luo Binghe was the protagonist, and he was very hard to kill, and was also, by the way, in love with Shen Qingqiu, who loved him back, despite his best efforts to put the brakes on his feelings, for a whole number of reasons. Part of him could still only helplessly cling to his original thinking that this whole fiasco was destined to end so that the story could get back to its original course. But whereas before, that thought had at least comforted him with the notion that Luo Binghe and Liu Qingge would find happiness. But, according to Shang Qinghua, he couldn't even have that anymore. If anything, it seemed like there were just more catastrophes to try and dodge. Two people he cared about would abuse one another. Thinking of it like that was what finally gave Shen Qingqiu some strong resolve again. Despite the path of the original story, he wasn't dead. Neither was Yue Qingyuan. Anyone seeing Shen Qingqiu's expression as he thought about this would be moved by the determination in his eyes. It would be very hard to deny that this man was a powerful immortal, and he looked as though he was preparing himself for an intense battle with the forces of evil. His fan tapped against the palm of his opposite hand as he walked the circuit around the outdoor space of his courtyard and stared up at the chaotic sky of the demon realm. Changing Luo Binghe's fate was something he would have an advantage at. After all, he was right by his side. Shen Qingqiu felt certain that he could face any number of dangers to keep Binghe from becoming someone who would suffer. Even if, when the man inevitably started picking up his other love interests, Shen Qingqiu wouldn't make the same mistake as the original goods. He wouldn't lose his head. His resolution wasn't to secure love for himself, but to protect Luo Binghe's future. That was the quest he had given himself early on, and even still, he couldn't abandon it. The thought made his chest hurt, as he thought about the day when other lovers would come onto the scene. But he soldiered on, all the same. Liu Qingge was a more difficult problem. The man was still trapped in his now-fizzled marriage to Yue Qingyuan. Shen Qingqiu wasn't certain what to make of the situation that he was now, at least in part, responsible for. By Shang Qinghua's description, Liu Qingge hadn't led a charmed life as Luo Binghe's first husband either. He'd even tried to kill him. The thought made Shen Qingqiu wonder if these really were even the same people. But then, in canon, both Luo Binghe and Liu Qingge had been forced to contend with a lot of the original goods' scheming and had fallen afoul of all sorts of events, according to Shang Qinghua, events which no longer seemed liable to happen. Their lives were complicated by all the schemes. So, would Luo Binghe still take an interest in Liu Qingge? Would they find their positions ironically reversed, with Shen Qingqiu as first husband and Liu Qingge as second? The thought made him feel a deep, melancholy dissatisfaction that reminded him of how he often felt while living at the Yue estate. But he didn't completely hate the idea either. Even with so much to occupy his attention in hell, Shen Qingqiu still found himself missing Liu Qingge's company from time to time. After all, they were friends and had lived together for years. Liu Qingge used to visit him every day, even in confinement. The man was solid and steady. And even though sometimes Shen Qingqiu jokingly thought about drawing a frowning face onto a dry plank and dubbing it Substitute Liu Qingge, he didn't seriously think it would be the same. He only missed the other man a little, of course. Just a tiny bit. Every day. But he still missed him. So in that regard, he could think of worse outcomes than having to share Luo Bingher with him. Thinking about it even more, Shen Qinqiu felt that there wasn't anyone else he'd be any good at sharing Luo Bingher with. As much as he could think of himself that he wouldn't make the same mistake as the original goods, the concept of Luo Bingher just turning up at some point in the future with a handsome stranger on his arm, giving loving looks to this other person, made him feel like he might choke on his anger. A cold sensation swept through him as he considered that, with Yue Qingyuan, his saving grace really had been that he wasn't in love with the man. He could judge the original goods night and day for his choices, could say that he had seen the world through his eyes. But really, actually caring about the person who might replace him made all the difference in the world. But what could he do? The original goods had fought tooth and nail against the inevitable format of this world, and in the end, it had only resulted in his death, and the death of the person he loved, too. If it had to happen, then Shen Qinqiu decided Liu Qingge would be his choice for sharing Bingher with. Liu Qingge already had his trust, and maybe this way he could even help the two men avoid the awful pitfalls and conflict that Shang Qinghua had apparently written into their relationship. Maybe he could transform the situation into a happy ending. And then maybe he also wouldn't be killed off by the narrative because he wouldn't actually be interfering. He'd still be helping. Even if the number rankings had to change, that was fine. First or second husband was irrelevant if it was with Liu Qingge. The more he thought of it, the more it felt like Liu Qingge had become a lifeline he could reach out to. Maybe that would be enough for Luo Bingher and the mandates of the plot. Maybe, if they worked together, they could keep each other safe. Only, now that the format of events had changed, what if Luo Bingher ran into some other future love interest before he had a chance to realize any feelings for Liu Qingge? At that thought, Shen Qinqiu couldn't contain his anxiety and sent a servant to go and summon Shang Qinghua back for another discussion. Mo Beijun's retinue had been staying at the palace for a while by then, but Shang Qinghua had been dodging him. This time he came, though with a wary expression on his face and no valuable ornaments in his hair. Shen Qinqiu felt a little guilty for beating him up, before he remembered the many deserving reasons behind it. "I'm not going to beat you up again," he said anyway. Shang Qinghua, to his surprise, immediately perked up. "Oh, well, all right then, bro, that's good," the other man replied, smiling as if he had no further qualms on this point. Wasn't that a little too trusting? Shen Qinqiu almost wanted to scold him for not being a little more wary, but that would be counterproductive. So in the end, he just let the matter go in the same easy fashion that Shang Qinghua seemed to want, and offered him some of Binghe's snacks in silent apology. Not that he needed to make an apology, of course, because if anyone had any business beating up Shang Qinghua, it was definitely him. He didn't feel bad about it, and he wasn't sorry. "So, what do you want to talk about?"
Binghe's other lovers, Shen Qinqiu admitted.
Shang Qinghua's hand paused over the plate of snacks.
"You mean in the original, right? Because if you mean here, then bro, you really have not been paying enough attention."
"Of course I mean in the story," Shen Qinqiu replied, waving off the comment. Obviously, Luo Bingher hadn't picked up anyone new yet. He was still young, and in his very first relationship arc, although he might have met other future lovers already. That was a disquieting thought. Shen
Xiang Qinghua let out a breath of relief. Then he stuffed a snack into his face and started fidgeting as he talked around a mouthful of crumbs.
In that case, you're going to have to be specific. The harem got kind of, big in the extra chapters.
Shen Qinqiu raised an eyebrow. How big?
You can just say a number to start with. Bro, these snacks are delicious. Do you know what's in them?
Bro, the number?
30-ish?
Shen Qinqiu stared.
Xiang Qinghua fidgeted. Before we left, I maybe also had rough notes for up to 300, and I'm honestly not sure if any of them exist or not, the man admitted in a low mumble that Shen Qinqiu only heard because it felt as though a sudden rush of adrenaline had sharpened all of his senses.
30?
No way. He was not dealing with 30 other men. Or mixed men and women. He wasn't entirely sure, but probably men. But regardless, just no.
The sudden rush of possessiveness did not surprise him at that point. In fact, he'd been more or less quietly wrestling with it for a while. He just hadn't wanted to admit it to himself.
Remember, bro, you said you weren't gonna beat me up again.
Xiang Qinghua anxiously reminded him. For a solid minute, Shen Qinqiu seriously reconsidered that decision. Somehow, in the end, he just found himself staring down at the table in front of himself with a forlorn expression. Across from him, Xiang Qinghua couldn't help but feel bad. It was rare that he let himself feel responsible for everything that had happened in his story. After all, even though he'd written it, he definitely hadn't made it into a real world that people could live in. He wasn't a god. And even despite the narrative drives of a world based on a story, the characters within it were still people in this world. They still made their own choices. Otherwise, how would anything change, even with interference? It wouldn't. So even though he'd had a hand in creating this place, he could still reassure himself that he wasn't responsible for the decisions that other people made. But right then, while he still didn't feel responsible for everything, he couldn't help but wrestle with a sentiment akin to a father realizing he'd passed some bad habits down to his son. His most promising son-in-law had a look in his eyes like someone had kicked his heart in the balls.
Bro, you don't have to worry about those other guys.
Shen Qinqiu slid a piece of paper and a brush over towards him. I'll need their names, the man insisted.
And Xiang Qinghua got it. All right, he understood. This was a story. Certain things were going to happen. Having an idea of the events to come was the best way to plan around them and survive.
But nah, he said, and slid the empty paper back. He shook his head.
You don't need their names, bro.
Shen Qinqiu gave him a look that made him flinch, and he nearly conceded anyway. But then he thought about that shamed, paternal sense of responsibility in his chest and managed to quickly press on.
Look, the Lord Bing He I wrote was an asshole. When he was a kid, he was a total white lotus. He loved his adopted mother, and he was genuinely grateful to Shen Jiu for saving him from being raped by the Huanhua Palace's lord, but
what? Xiang Qinghua paused. Oh, right. Book one only. He kept forgetting how little was in that part with regards to Luo Bingha, especially since this was the backstory, so chronologically in his head it happened early on. Shen Qinqiu looked horrified, and then furious. Xiang Qinghua winced and decided it was still a good idea not to wear any more expensive and or breakable jewellery to their talks. Right. Backstory. I can't believe we've never talked about this before. He did what? To Luo Bingha? Shen Qinqiu demanded sharply. Well, at least they were off the topic of the chrysanthemum garden.
Simply put, Huanhua Palace's lord was inappropriately infatuated with Luo Bingher's mother ever since she was young. After Luo Bingher's adopted mother died, he was in a bad place. Someone at the palace noticed that he shared a resemblance to his mother, one of the kitchen staff, I think, but it's been a while and that was a minor character. Anyway, so she didn't know he was related to her, she just thought he might suit the lord's tastes. Shen Jiu overheard her scheming with one of the maids while he was staying at the palace. They'd found the kid on the streets and invited him back to the palace by promising him food. Then they drugged the food to knock him out, so they could let the lord look at him and make up his mind. Only, because of his demon blood, the drugs didn't work. So the maid decided to hit him, and Shen Jiu's rare fits of moral conscience got to him because Luo Bingha was so young. He put a stop to it and shoved the kid into his carriage instead, and when he ended up bringing him back to the Yue estate, he didn't want to explain things since he couldn't actually prove wrongdoing from the palace lord. So Yue Qingyuan got mad at him for involving a kid in some scheme and made him take Luo Bingha on to make up for it. Shen
Qinqiu's expression had only darkened more and more as the description continued. So he actually saved him, he murmured. Xiang Qinghua sighed.
Yeah. I mean, Luo Bingha was too young to really know what he was saved from. Shen Jiu just said he saved his life, and since he was so scared, the kid had no trouble believing him. He didn't figure it out until he was older and ended up back at Huanhua Palace again and, you know, looked back on the situation with adult hindsight.
A thoughtful silence followed this account of events. At the time when he was writing it, he'd mostly just been thinking about a kind of situation that would justify Luo Bingher's initial loyalty, despite his obvious mistreatment. It seemed like a good solution. After all, even very bad people could draw the line at sitting back and letting something like that happen, while still convincingly doing all sorts of other evil deeds. But thinking of it as an event that a child actually went through? Shen Qinqiu cleared his throat. Well, now I'm especially glad I tore up that marriage offer for him from Huanhua's young mistress, he said. Xiang Qinghua nodded, even though he hadn't known that such an offer had been made.
Good call, bro. Anyway, the point is, part of the tragedy of his original story was that he started out really good, but all the circumstances around him blackened his heart. Shen Jiu abused him, so he betrayed him to escape the abuse. But then he ended up killing the guy, except he hadn't really meant for things to get that far. No one had. And the act of killing his former mentor got him blacklisted. He faced a lot of rejection and learned that kindness was expensive and selfishness was the best way to survive. He started perpetuating the same treatment that ruined him in the first place. You know, the cycle of abuse. But for the romance, there was still a kernel of good in him, and it would come out every so often and make it hard for people to completely hate him. I contrasted that with Liu Qingge's nobility, which got more and more superficial as his life fell apart and he was coerced into acts that left him feeling tarnished and ashamed. He started wearing his reputation like a mask to cover up his own self-hatred. Xiang Qinghua frowned a little as he reminisced. A lot of his hate readers had said things that pretty much just made him go, "Yes, that's exactly the point!" But they always sounded like they were scolding him.
Shen Qingqiu looked horrified again. He flapped a hand at him hastily.
But that's why it's so different. Bro, don't you get it? You didn't abuse Luo Bingha. You looked out for him. You taught him good stuff. You bonded with him. You made me give him whole butchered chickens while he was still having to eat his own raw kills.
He was what?
Oh, it's fine. He's half demon. He can't get food poisoning.
He shouldn't have mentioned that. Shen Qingqiu looked like he was going to kill him again.
Jeez, this was not a fun conversation.
Luo Binghe's expression when he'd seen that chicken, though. It would take a heart made out of stone not to have felt a little emotional in return. It was like the feral boy suddenly remembered he was human.
Hurriedly, he continued, before they could get sidetracked again. And he didn't betray you. Even just thinking about it, can you imagine Luo Binghe betraying you? Killing you? That's fucking absurd, bro. This version of the guy isn't the one I wrote. The one I wrote had a heart blackened to ash and just one lingering, tiny speck of good conscience. Your Luo Binghe learnt different lessons. He hasn't blackened hardly at all. So he's not going to make the same mistakes or have the same relationships with people. He already doesn't have the same relationships with people. He loves Shen Qingqiu, hates Yue Qingyuan, kinda wants my king dead even now, and honestly, I have no idea what he thinks of Liu Qingge. I asked him once, and he just shrugged. Point is, if you try and predict what he'll do based on the story I wrote, it'll be as wrong as trying to predict what he'll do based on things a completely different person did.
Realization flashed across Shen Qingqiu's eyes. Shang Qinghua had to resist the urge to sag in relief, and after a moment he even failed at that, and just went with it. Taking a gamble on what seemed to be the best way to convince Luo Binghe to do stuff sometimes, Shang Qinghua even dared to reach over and pat Shen Qingqiu on the shoulder. You don't have to worry about those other guys. You trust Luo Binghe, right? The look of realization deepened. Shang Qinghua inwardly pat himself on the back.
He should have just opened with that, he thought. He should have known. It really did go both ways with these two, after all.
Right when he was thinking that everything was so nicely sorted out, Shen Qingqiu levelled him with a sharp look.
But what about Liu Qingge, then? He asked.
Shit.
After an awkward minute, he could only shrug.
Beats me, he said.
It was definitely the wrong thing to say. Generally speaking, when a person was kidnapped by demons, there was a certain pattern of events that most of the rest of the world expected to see play out. People were usually taken in the night, sometimes with fights ensuing, sometimes vanishing before anyone else could realize what was happening. Rescue attempts were common, but not necessarily ubiquitous. Ransoms were sometimes demanded. Victims were kept locked away, only to be occasionally paraded about as bound trophies if their captives were looking to provoke a fight. Favored captives, that is, individuals who were actually stolen because some demon lord or other had taken a shine to them, might be plied with gifts and luxuries and kept close to their captor's side. But generally speaking, their mobility was impeded and it was rare to see them outside of their prison, especially not for that pivotal first year. From the start, however, the abduction of Yue Qingyuan's second husband had been strange. No band of demons had beset the Yue estate under cover of darkness. Instead, a grand wedding procession had made its way through several cities, coming up from the borderlands. Most people who saw it hadn't even thought to consider that it was a kidnapping party. Instead, people had speculated wildly on what was going on. It was clear that some, if not all, members of the party were demons, even if they were the more human-looking kind.
Was some demon nobleman really officially marrying a human noble? People had even wondered if it was a member of the imperial family. The scandalous rumors had gotten moving long before the event was done, and even for weeks afterwards, wild misinformation spread far and wide. But most people heard, eventually, that the procession had stopped at the Yue estate. And then the story had come out. There was a demon, Lord Law, who had once posed as the apprentice and personal servant of Yue Qingyuan's second husband. Pretending to be an ordinary youth, he had infiltrated the noble household after somehow coming to covet the household's second husband for his beauty. That second husband was already renowned to be beautiful, of course. No one else could fathom why a nobleman like Yue Qingyuan would only keep a single low-born man as his spouse unless he was hypnotically gorgeous. So tales of Shen Qinqiu's beauty had long been passed around the capital, and even other cities. There were a few different versions of how the demon Lord Luo had first crossed paths with Ye Qingyuan's second husband. Some said that he had simply glimpsed him from afar, but this was enough to set a fire in his heart. Others claimed that Shen Qinqiu had ventured into the demonic realms to buy a potion that kept his lord's heart within his own thrall, and there he'd crossed paths with Lord Luo, who was charmed in turn by his demon-like schemes. There was even a story of Lord Luo being injured in a fight, and Shen Qinqiu taking pity on him and giving him some medicine. Among the demons, it was said that Shen Qinqiu once shared with Lord Luo a delicacy called chicken that staved off his hunger. Most humans agreed that version was nonsense. Whatever the case, Lord Luo's attempts to steal the man outright must have been rebuffed by Yue Qingyuan, because he eventually settled on a more crafty approach. Taking on the appearance of a sweet-tempered youth, he impressed Yue Qingyuan's second husband with some tricks and convinced the man to take him on as apprentice. For years, then, the demon Lord Luo had stayed by Shen Qinqiu's side. Each morning and night, the tales went, he had brushed love potion into the hair of his master. Every day he fed the man food cooked by his own hand, laced with his heavenly demon blood that compelled devotion and obedience. Shen Qinqiu's temperament even began to change as he turned cold to his lord husband, but became softer and warmer in all other respects. A servant of the Yue estate even swore up and down that he had heard the second husband playing music to his apprentice at night, like a concubine entertaining his beloved lord. Of course, it could only go on for so long before Yue Qingyuan began to suspect something, even without knowing Lord Luo's true nature. In order to spare himself from the righteous cultivator's sword, then, Lord Luo faked his death at a spring tournament hosted by the Yue estate. But the damage of the years had already been done by then. Yue Qingyuan's second husband fell into grief sickness, his heart lost to the demon who had left. But Lord Luo had only grown more determined by his time spent seducing that second husband. He sent spies to tell Shen Qinqiu that his apprentice had survived and delivered ultimatums to Lord Yue Qingyuan as he rallied his forces and hid a great army within the festive coverings of the wedding procession. Though he approached the estate openly, in truth, every demon he brought with him was more than a match for the average cultivator. Even the servants were all assassins and warriors of the highest order, sworn into the service of his mighty bloodline. Seeing this force arrayed around his household, Yue Qingyuan still prepared to defend his second husband from the demon's machinations. But it was for naught. Over so many years of subterfuge, Lord Luo's demonic arts had rewritten every part of Shen Qinqiu's body to love him. When the fighting began, the second husband threw himself into Lord Luo's arms and was nearly cut in two by the swing of Yue Qingyuan's sword. In the end, through subterfuge, this battle had already been lost. unwilling to sacrifice the lives of his estate for a fight he could not win, or to kill the husband he had treasured so dearly. Poor Lord Yue could only watch in the end, as his husband was stolen away by Lord Luo. The demon's victory was so complete that he showed no wariness or hesitation. Placing Shen Qinqiu in a beautiful carriage, he rode proudly alongside it and made no secret of his intentions as the wedding procession drove its way back to the borderlands. Many onlookers tried to catch a glimpse of the legendary beauty who had ensnared Yue Qingyuan and been ensnared in turn by a demon lord's tricks. Some claimed to have seen a pale wrist extending out from the carriage, as though beckoning Lord Luo to come close again. Even just this small gesture, the rumours said, was so profoundly erotic that a few of the onlookers had fainted in shock. Some speculated that it was only fitting in the end too. Shen Qinqiu, who had always schemed to own Yue Qingyuan's heart completely, was ultimately undone by a covetous demon lord with the same designs on him. Others even whispered that the story had it in reverse, for hadn't all of this happened when Lord Yue had finally taken that second husband? Wasn't it known that Shen Qinqiu had sunk his claws into Yue Qingyuan when the man was still young and untested? But seeing himself replaced, dropping in rank, and being outmatched by the noble and lovely Liu Qingge, he had concocted a scheme to seize a new lord for himself. That theory held that Luo Binghe really had been Shen Qinqiu's apprentice and hadn't known of his demonic bloodline at all. It was Shen Qinqiu who knew of it. A servant of Huanhua Palace swore up and down that their lord had nearly rescued the boy, in fact, recognizing him as the son of one of the lord's beloved apprentices, before Shen Qinqiu had knocked the servants out cold and stolen the poor child away, knowing full well the rumours of Su Shiyan's tryst with a heavenly demon lord. Shen Qinqiu groomed and seduced his apprentice, and even arranged for demons to take him back during that spring tournament, so that the boy could rise in power and reclaim his birthright. His grief sickness was only feigned. That ice-cold schemer had simply decided to embrace his true nature and thrown his lot in with a demon lord to secure more power for himself. Whatever the take, the scandalous tale kept tongues wagging for a long while afterwards. The Yue estate earned a black mark, not only for having a husband stolen, but for housing a demon for so many years. Some of the servants left, insisting that Lord Luo had placed secret curses everywhere. The emperor even declared the matter a concern for the whole city, and personally sent some of his most skilled servants to cleanse the grounds. Liu Qingge didn't bother to listen to the rumours unless he couldn't escape it, and didn't think very much of the cleansing that had gone on. He and Yue Qingyuan were established cultivators, after all. And anyway, Luo Binghe's demonic abilities hadn't manifested until after he'd left. Trying to argue just seemed to add fuel to the fire, however. Lord Yue had become subdued and withdrawn, grieving his failed marriage and suffering from that grief. And Liu Qingge had not known what to do on that front either. He had thrown his mind back to the early days of their relationship, when his heart had moved for the man, and tried to offer comfort. But it was awkward and difficult. Perhaps most frustratingly, the people he thought could have helped the most were the ones he couldn't turn to. Shen Qinqiu would have helped shoulder the burdens of running the estate and dealing with their tarnished reputation. Even Luo Binghe, back when he was around, would have been able to keep track of the accounts and manage the staff. The second husband's courtyard was silent. Some lazy servants even refused to go there to clean or tend the grounds, and the paper stacks on Liu Qingge's desk grew taller and taller, with letters and requests and account books, until he simply wanted to shut the door on it all and flee. He wasn't a coward, but this felt less like a fight and more like drowning in the open sea, with nothing to hold on to and no sword to fly away on. His backlog was so massive that when he opened the letter for the invitation to the Immortal Review Conference that his mother was hosting, it was almost too late to accept the invitation. Liu Qingge hurried to do so, writing down his reply with more haste than courtesy. It was his family, they wouldn't mind. Sending one of his apprentices to spring down to the courier's office and have it delivered. Then he shot an angry glance at the stacks of papers still waiting on his desk and resolutely abandoned them in favour of heading for the Lord's Courtyard. Yue Qingyuan's personal servant tried to stop him. "My lord isn't seeing anyone right now," he said. Liu Qingge ignored him, leaping clean over him when he tried to block his path and snapping the lock on his lord's door when it didn't open. He marched over to where Yue Qingyuan was sitting and meditating with the kitten that Liu Qingge had given him last week. The kitten was actually sleeping, and Yue Qingyuan was actually just staring blankly at some old letters. "We're going to a tournament to fight things," Liu Qingge said. Yue Qingyuan blinked up at him.
"You go," he said.
"I'll come too," Liu Qingge insisted. "Fight things. See people. There are rumours that you killed yourself and are haunting the estate as a ghost. I can't disprove them if you act that way."
Yue Qingyuan let out a humourless sound that might have been laughter.
"Killed myself," he said, and then shook his head. He sighed.
"How can I kill myself? He cut up the white silk before he left."
Liu Qingge raised an eyebrow. Every noble household had a length of white silk, of course, in the event that circumstances called upon someone to take their own life in order to avoid worse situations arising. The lord or lady in charge of the household could order such things, and the emperor could demand them as well. He didn't need to ask who he was that might have cut up the estate's length of white silk before leaving. If Yue Qingyuan had discovered its state, then the gesture was probably necessary. With a sigh, Liu Qingge sat down next to the man he had married.
"He left you too,"
Yue Qingyuan said into the silence that followed. The air in this room felt stale, Liu Qingge thought. There was not enough life in it. "He chose Luo Binghe," he agreed, simply enough. To say that it didn't hurt would be a lie. Of course it hurt. But in a way, it had always hurt, because he had known from the start that he would probably never have what he wanted. That outcome couldn't surprise him, regardless of how it came to be. His hand strayed to the fan at his belt. He didn't touch it, and instead settled his posture more properly.
"He chose Luo Binghe,"
Yue Qingyuan echoed quietly.
"His first husband, waiting to see if he made the wrong choice as well."
Liu Qingge thought about that.
"Perhaps," he conceded. It was still a possibility, after all. Luo Binghe was a demon. He would be lying if he said he hadn't entertained any fleeting fancies on the theme. Thoughts of Luo Binghe revealing himself to be unworthy of Shen Qinqiu in the end, Liu Qingge rescuing the man from a bad situation, bringing him back, feeling his arms close around him, remorseful words spilling past his lips.
"Liu Qingge, it was awful, unbearable. This foolish man dreamed every day that someone would come to save him."
But it was just a fancy, in the end. All of his dreams of Shen Qinqiu were far-fetched enough for him to know it. Yue Qingyuan sighed again.
"What a petty thing, to think perhaps he's suffering, and find that almost hopeful," he said, with a shake of his head. "I must know that he isn't, or else it would feel like dread and worry."
It was a strange sentiment, but Liu Qingge found he understood it completely. They both knew,
Shen Qingqiu was fine. The man he had chosen was in all likelihood cherishing him beyond measure. Otherwise, would either of them have actually let him go? Wouldn't they have given chase, fought, made efforts to bring him back? However, there was more to the world than Shen Qingqiu. Love and loss were emotions that easily blinded people to other things, and that day, it all just annoyed Liu Qingge. The stale air, the melancholy, the subtle mess of the estate. It all annoyed him beyond tolerance. "We're leaving," he said, amending his first statement. Yue Qingyuan shook his head. "You go," the lord repeated. "There are two married people in this room. They might help one another." That actually seemed to give the other man pause. It was enough of an opening that Liu Qingge took it as permission anyway, and muscled him to his feet. The kitten meowed in protest as it was dislodged from its place, but then it settled back down onto a warm spot on the floor. Throwing his lord over to his personal servants, Liu Qingge instructed them to make him presentable, and then went to order some things packed and a carriage made ready. They were halfway to his maiden family home when Yue Qingyuan actually thought to ask where they were going. "Liu Estate," he said. "Ah," the lord replied. His brows furrowed a little. Whatever he was worried about, Liu Qingge didn't care to try asking. Liu Estate was a big place, and the clan had several branches. It was always bustling, and even though it was technically rude to arrive for a visit without making any plans ahead of time, his grandmother had assured him that he would always have a place there. His family wasn't much for idle talk, as a general rule. And sure enough, when they arrived, his old courtyard was made ready for them in a fast enough time that he knew their presence wasn't wholly unexpected. Preparations for the upcoming conference were also underway. It wasn't precisely a tournament, or a big imperial conference which might mix multiple events and meetings, but there would be fights and demonstrations of skill. His apprentices chatted excitedly with some of his younger cousins, and his sister met them and even went so far as to hug him. It didn't take long for Liu Qingge to find someone to fight. He dragged Yue Qingyuan along with him and threw him at one of his spinster uncles for a spar of his own. Fighting was good. Fighting against people he hadn't fought for a while was even better. It even got to the point where Yue Qingyuan agreed to cross swords with him, and by the time evening came around, they were sweaty and exhausted and had dented one of the estate walls. They slept in the same courtyard that night. Yue Qingyuan didn't touch him, but he lay beside him in bed.
"What was it like growing up here?"
the lord asked him, to his surprise. Liu Qingge wasn't sure how to answer. It was growing up. He didn't know how it would be different from any other experience of its kind. In his silence, Yue Qingyuan sighed.
"Ajiu and I didn't grow up in an estate. We lived on the street. We slept in a building that was owned by a man who sent us out to do work for him, along with a dozen or so other children. If someone got sick, they usually died. If someone got lost, either we had to look for them, or no one would. Everyone dreamed of being secret royalty or long-lost scions and being rescued from that life."
He shifted around a little.
"It came true for me. Sometimes I wondered what it would be like if I had grown up in an estate instead. But then I would never have met Ajiu, so I never wondered too hard."
Liu Qingge considered. "I had a lot of lessons," he finally said. There was an expectant pause, but he didn't really have anything else to offer, so he let it be at that. After a few minutes, the bed started to tremble. He looked over and realized that Yue Qingyuan was silently laughing. The man ran a hand down his face. "What?" he demanded.
Nothing. It's nothing. Yue Qingyuan assured him. First husband has a gift for brevity.
Liu Qingge scoffed and rolled to his side. Go to sleep, he commanded. He heard his lord sigh and roll over to the other side. Going home was a good idea, Liu Qingge decided in short order. The Yue estate was doubtless going to be in some sorry condition when they returned to it, but for the moment, he didn't care. He let himself return to his daily routine from before his marriage, training, practicing, and beating around his apprentices. Yue Qingyuan was dragged along in a fashion more appropriate to old study friends than married lords. But that was also irrelevant, since he actually moved and did things in this state. Following Liu Qingge's lead, most of his peers just treated Yue Qingyuan as another fighter to test their skills against or discuss exploits with. By the time the conference came, Liu Qingge felt well reminded of the things in life that were not love or loss. And then, word came that a demonic contingent was being hosted by one of the larger city inns. Don't say anything to my lord about it. Block anyone who tries, Liu Qingge instructed his servants. Then he took off on his own to investigate, soaring over the landscape of the city before veering down to the roof of the inn in question. He swung himself down from the edge of the roof, spied an open window, and in a moment decided to simply enter that way. It was reckless, and it was pure luck that had him tumbling into a room where Shen Qinqiu was sitting with some paper and writing implements spread out onto a small desk. Liu Qingge landed on his feet. The two men blinked at one another. Then Shen Qinqiu's shoulders began to shake, and he lost his fight with a sudden fit of laughter.
First husband, it's customary to come in through the door.
Liu Qingge was embarrassed, but in no mood to admit it. He folded his arms defensively. Your security is terrible. Anyone can come in through the window.
Apparently so.
He grunted, and then took a moment to properly look at Shen Qinqiu. To his relief, the other man looked well. His eyes were bright. His face had some colour in it, and he seemed healthy. There were no signs of mistreatment about him. He was dressed in soft green and blue and white, his clothes elegantly embroidered. But there was a red jade token on his belt that was marked with a demonic symbol. It looked like the same one that Luo Binghe had sealed his letter of intent with. Xiu Ya was leaning innocuously against the desk, and a simple silver hairpin decorated his head. He definitely didn't look like some extravagant demon consort or wily seducer. He also didn't look battered, drugged, or abused. The last shadow of doubt about his own actions quietly erased itself from his heart. You look well. Shen Qinqiu smiled at him.
And first husband looks weary,
the man said, mercilessly.
Although, I suppose I shouldn't call him first husband anymore. Or should I? We're still technically married to the same person for now, but...
Call me what you like, Liu Qingge said dismissively.
They fell silent again. Somehow, the quiet seemed to fill the entire room. It wasn't the same as their comfortable silences, yet it wasn't precisely awkward either.
Shen Qinqiu seemed to subject Liu Qingge to the same scrutiny he'd given him earlier, before he finally stood up from the desk.
Mr. Liu has saved me some time. I was about to send a message explaining our arrival, actually, Shen Qinqiu said.
Huh. Mr. Liu. He bit back a protest. It was a perfectly serviceable way to address him, and definitely preferable to first husband of Yue Qingyuan or Yue Qingyuan's husband, which was what most outsiders called him. His brows still furrowed a little, despite himself. You're here for the conference, he guessed. Shen Qinqiu inclined his head.
is a bad idea, Liu Qingge asserted immediately. People are saying ugly things about you and Luo Binghe. You won't be welcomed.
Rather than seeming shocked or hurt, Shen Qinqiu only sighed.
That's not surprising. In fact, it's probably inevitable. But to be honest, hell is a little boring. Except you'd probably like it. There's no shortage of things to fight.
Liu Qingge perked up a bit in interest.
I've rarely been, he admitted. It's not a good idea to just try running around the place, Shen Qinqiu warned him. But if you want to visit, I definitely wouldn't say no. There's only one other human, apart from Binghe, around right now, and he's at Morbei Jun's beck and call.
Liu Qingge frowned a little. Shang Qinghua, he guessed.
Don't look so disapproving, the other man confirmed. He wasn't actually tricking me, remember?
Liu Qingge conceded the point with a reluctant grunt. The concept of visiting the demonic realm was frankly absurd. Who had ever heard of a human cultivator making some kind of friendly sojourn to hell? But Shen Qinqiu was hardly acting like the captive of a demon lord when it came down to it. The atmosphere was peaceful, and not tense with hidden hardships or resentment. Slowly, Liu Qingge found himself relaxing and breathing more and more easily. The room wasn't a massive space, but it had a good size. It was probably one of the nicer rooms of the inn. After a moment, Shen Qinqiu ushered him over towards a set of chairs.
Come, sit with me. I want to know how things have been since I left.
Liu Qingge let out a silent breath. They've been fine, he supplied. Shen Qinqiu gave him a skeptical look. Leaning back in his chair, Liu Qingge opted not to elaborate.
How's the estate? The other man prompted.
It's not your concern, he said. His tone wasn't harsh. He didn't mean it badly. He meant it truthfully. Shen Qinqiu's choice to leave ensured that the estate was no longer his responsibility. If Liu Qingge told him things weren't going well, that would imply that it was his fault. But fault was complicated and not worth muddying the waters of this unexpected reunion with. Shen Qinqiu frowned a little.
I do still care, he said, with a mild tone of reproach.
You shouldn't, Liu Qingge advised. Then he amended. Not about the estate, anyway. If you still care about people who live there, that's fine.
Shen Qinqiu clucked his tongue at him. The well-being of one rather ties into the other, don't you think? He said. Then he waved a hand. Never mind, you obviously don't want to talk about it. How is Lord Yue, then? Has he gotten over it?
No.
Ah.
I have him at the Liu estate, Liu Qingge admitted. He's moving around and thinking about things, other things.
Good, Shen Qinqiu said.
Then he paused and seemed to consider his next question. When he ventured it, his tone was decidedly tentative.
And how is Liu Qingge doing?
Fine. Another pause. Shen Qinqiu's gaze caught on his belt. Liu Qingge followed it and realized that the fan he'd been gifted was still where he'd taken to keeping it. His cheeks heated a little at the awkwardness. If he'd thought, he should have taken it off before he left. It was just that he never really used it. He only kept it around to the point where he had stopped thinking twice about having it on his person. With a rough motion, he reached down and pulled it from his belt and then settled it onto the table between them. You left that behind. I was waiting to return it. You're too careless with your things. Shen Qinqiu pursed his lips.
I left it on purpose.
Before Liu Qingge could think of a reply, he knew that, of course, a servant had delivered it to him with Shen Qinqiu's parting intentions.
The door to the room they were in opened. Luo Bingha stood in the entrance and glowered at him. Liu Qingge glowered back. Shen Qinqiu smiled pleasantly.
Bingha, come in. Look who came to visit.
Luo Bingha, looking every inch the demonic nobleman, even if his captive wasn't playing his own part, gave Liu Qingge a very complicated sort of glare. Then he stepped into the room and very carefully shut the door behind himself. The red mark on his forehead gleamed just faintly.
You're Qingyuan's first husband. It's rude to be alone in a room with another person's spouse. Since you've come here, you're at fault for ignoring propriety.
Liu Qingge raised his brows. It won't be long until Shen Qinqiu is no one's spouse. Only my own reputation is at stake right now.
True,
Luo Bingha said, narrowing his eyes at him.
Soon, Shu Zun will be able to do as he likes. Within reason, of course. Naturally, he wouldn't be able to marry someone who was already the spouse of some human lord. People like that wouldn't even be up for his consideration.
Naturally, Liu Qingge agreed stiffly. The two of them glared at one another for a long moment. It was broken only by the sound of Shen Qinqiu pointedly clearing his throat.
Such an odd tone for a reunion of old friends to take. Bingha, stop looking suspicious and come and sit down. What have I told you about looming? Doesn't everyone remember when we three used to work together to manage an estate? This is just like old times.
Luo Bingha's expression softened noticeably when he looked over at Shen Qinqiu. Some of the tension left his shoulders, and he came over and sat down. Shen Qinqiu breathed an internal sigh of relief. He had been hoping that asking to try and attend this conference would give them a chance to run into Liu Qingge, but he hadn't been expecting the man to just pop into their room at the city inn from out of nowhere. It was a little awkward, but also a great opportunity for them to actually talk in private. Only, he had been expecting to have a little more time to brace himself for seeing Luo Bingha and Liu Qingge together again, and figuring out how to feel about it, really. There was definitely some odd tension between the two men. Shen Qinqiu couldn't help but get nervous. Looking at Liu Qingge and Luo Bingha, it was so clear that they were impressive people. Liu Qingge's beauty was solemn but graceful, his more delicate features softening the natural intensity of his personality while he cut an elegant figure in the modest clothes he was wearing. He was dressed far more as a cultivator than a wealthy first husband, but then that had always been his preference. It suited him. Contrasted with Luo Bingha's own breathtaking beauty and tall, imposing figure, it would be impossible to deny that the two men were on a similar level of excellence. Even just having them in the same room, there were probably poets who would fall all over themselves trying to describe the energy between them. Shen Qinqiu automatically classified himself as an outsider to the scene, looking in, like a spectator with front row theatre seats. To anyone else observing the room, that description would have been laughably inaccurate. Shen Qinqiu was no more an outsider to the dynamics between the two other men than the sun would be considered an outsider to the movements of the solar system. But such things were much harder to realise from the inside. Shen Qinqiu's nervousness was short-lived, however. In fact, he was too happy to be reunited with a person he'd missed to fall into his bad habits of obsessing over narrative destiny again. It really wasn't just like old times, but there was a quality to having the three of them together which made him feel nostalgic anyway.
So, Liu Qingge said to Luo Bingha, finally breaking the tense silence in the room. A demon lord, huh?
Luo Bingha regarded him for a moment.
Then he shrugged. I was surprised too, he said.
Does that come with any land rights in hell?
Liu Qingge asked, awkwardly. Shen Qingqiu had to smile. Thoughtlessly, he picked up the fan which Liu Qingge had set down on the table in front of him and opened it to hide behind. Holy shit, this was hilarious! Liu Qingge was trying to make small talk with Luo Bingha about his demon noble status. Even Luo Bingha looked like he was wrestling with a tiny bit of amusement at the realization. After all, Shen Qingqiu had been the one to more or less try and teach Liu Qingge how to make small talk in the first place. And where he'd gone, Luo Bingha had been. Liu Qingge frowned and folded his arms. Forget it, he said.
Does Yue Qingyuan's husband really want to know? I'll answer his questions if he does.
Luo Bingha offered, ultimately not bothering to hide his amusement. Shen Qingqiu expected Liu Qingge to say that of course he didn't really care. On topics like this, he was usually just being polite by asking about anyone's properties or titles, and was, in fact, bored to tears if it had nothing to do with fighting or cultivation. But, to his surprise, the other man darted him a glance, and then nodded at Luo Bingha.
I want to know. Lord Luo has obligations to live up to. How does he intend to manage that?
Oh, he was really interested. Shen Qingqiu's nerves came back. He couldn't help it. Peering at the two men from above his fan, he tried to picture what it would be like to see Liu Qingge falling into Luo Bingher's arms. While Luo Bingha described his various acquisitions and responsibilities as a demon lord and talked a little about his lineage, Shen Qingqiu did his best to envision romantic interludes between the two men. He couldn't really manage it. In the end, two stiff figures just clacked awkwardly together in his mind, like as if they were two dolls that some child was trying to make
kiss! Now kiss!
Obviously, he knew how Luo Bingher's kisses went. And he knew from the first book how things had gone with Yue Qingyuan and Liu Qingge in the bedroom. Maybe that was part of the problem. Yue Qingyuan wasn't a terribly passionate lover. He'd been gentle and considerate. But Shen Qingqiu hadn't really gotten a sense of pure, unbridled heat from those love scenes. He supposed that, based on Shang Qinghua's descriptions, things were very different between Liu Qingge and Luo Bingha. It wasn't as if he couldn't imagine someone being passionate towards Liu Qingge, but the thought of him and Luo Bingha fighting and then just transitioning into aggressive, resentful sex just made him frown. He'd never been much for those kinds of ships, really. Passions, yes. But the resentment? It just seemed like it would be painful to endure, or even just to witness. He'd always skimmed over those sorts of relationships in most of the books he read. Usually they'd reach the point where affection smoothed over the rough edges, and then they'd be fine. Although, apparently, that wasn't quite the case in Shang Qinghua's work. He supposed he could try to imagine it that way, though. He'd seen Yue Qingyuan fondly kiss Liu Qingge a few times when they'd first gotten married. Liu Qingge's lips were soft, and his posture always stayed a little rigid. Drawing the kiss out would probably get him to ease up. Then Liu Qingge would probably settle his hands onto the other person. Like with those few hugs they'd shared, once he relaxed, the strength in his arms would probably be more than a little intoxicating. And maybe some of the intensity he applied to his fighting skills would turn up and ignite a spark or two, dizzying but somehow grounding at the same time, enough to make the person in his arms melt into his gestures. Was it too warm in this room? Shen Qinqiu hastily shook his thoughts away. He didn't need to picture it. Right, that was... He didn't need to go distracting himself with flights of fancy on the subject of Liu Qingge definitely kissing Luo Binghe, which was absolutely what he had just imagined. If it happened, then he'd definitely see it in the end. Well, not that he'd see it, but he'd probably see something. Bits. Like kisses, maybe. And if it didn't happen, then he still needed to find a way to look after Liu Qingge, to repay him for stealing away some part of his happiness, but also just because Liu Qingge deserved to be looked after. Even if he just ended up staying with Yue Qingyuan in the end, the man would need friends, breaks, some other people to turn to, who understood how complicated it could be to live with that person and run that estate and deal with those obligations and restrictions. Liu Qingge was his friend. Shen Qinqiu still wanted him around, come what may. What? The man he was musing on asked him suddenly. He was dragged from his thoughts, finding himself under scrutiny. Blinking, he realized that he'd been staring at Liu Qingge for too long. The two men had apparently finished trying to talk about Luo Binghe's ascension. Shen Qinqiu cleared his throat. Forgive me, I was lost in thought, he admitted. But no, he couldn't leave it at that. Carefully, he folded the fan back up and forced himself to relax. It's a shame that the demonic realm doesn't support much correspondence. There's no good way for us to keep up with our friends in this world. Liu Qingge's eyes widened a little at his assertion. He looked like he did whenever someone paid him a compliment he wasn't sure how to respond to. Luo Binghe frowned, but when Shen Qinqiu turned his smile towards him, his expression cleared again. Asking Shuzun's patience, when arrangements are made in the human world, such things will be easier, he promised. Arrangements? Liu Qingge asked. Luo Binghe regarded him carefully for a moment, then shrugged. Well, this lord doesn't hold any titles among human nobility, and he is unlikely to be bestowed one by the emperor. There are still many ways of acquiring a good home in this world. Shuzun wouldn't be happy just living in hell all the time. Isn't it only natural that his lord would provide him with the most suitable place to live? Shen Qinqiu felt his face heat up. What was with that description that made it sound like it was all about him? Luo Binghe would definitely want a nice place to live, just for his own sake. Wasn't this demon lord still half-human? He'd spent most of his life growing up in the human world. Even if he'd assimilated into demon society really well and had a whole bunch of demon abilities and instincts, no one just forgot the culture they'd grown up in for the first 18 years of their life. But Liu Qingge just nodded, as if there was nothing strange about that explanation.
Finding good servants might be difficult, he warned.
There are a lot of demons that want to try living in the human world. If it comes to it, I have confidence that enough of them can figure out how to work a human estate.
People will object. Possibly even with violence, Liu Qingge said, eyes narrowing.
I know, Luo Binghe agreed, equally serious. That's why even you won't get to know a lot of details on this topic. For now.
At the even you, Liu Qingge blinked. Shen Qinqiu was a little surprised as well.
So there was something there after all.
He swallowed back his awkwardly mixed feelings about it, as Liu Qingge and Luo Binghe stared at one another with expressions he couldn't quite place. It looked as though they were coming to some kind of silent, unspoken agreement. And then Liu Qingge stood up.
You'll tell me if you need allies.
Luo Binghe silently inclined his head. Then they both looked at him. Shen Qinqiu blinked back. That was it? The atmosphere didn't feel at all like any kind of burgeoning romance. In fact, it seemed like a lot of the tension had just vanished. Maybe that was bad news. But something inside of him also stirred hopefully at the thought. He remembered Shang Qinghua's words about the nature of Binghe's changed perspective. He couldn't judge these two real living people by the actions of characters from a story that had progressed on entirely different lines in the end.
I should head back, Liu Qingge admitted.
If it was possible for a man of his personality to sound wistful, then he did, just a little. Shen Qinqiu extended the hand fan back towards him. Don't forget this, he insisted. It was a gift. Liu Qingge had even taken to wearing it, so he must have developed some kind of liking for it, right? The man gave him a long look, and then shook his head.
Return it to me the next time we meet, he requested, bizarrely.
Shen Qinqiu frowned. We might not be able to meet up again for a while, he protested. If they were permitted into the conference, they'd probably see each other there, but it was highly unlikely they would be. Luo Binghe had mentioned that to him numerous times, and even Shen Qinqiu had to agree. However, making the effort to get involved was a start on Luo Binghe's future dealings with the human nobility, and even just trying gave them a chance at this meeting, which was more successful than he'd hoped. Liu Qingge nodded in understanding.
There's time. We're immortals, after all. I know what I want. If the right time for it comes, then I will not fail to reach out for it. But I understand that this time may also never come.
Shen Qinqiu stared. There was no chance they were talking about the hand fan anymore. Was he saying that he really had fallen in love with Luo Binghe, and he'd wait and see, and if there really was a moment where he and Luo Binghe could realize their love story, he'd go for it? But that he wasn't going to do anything to endanger their friendship in the meantime, either. Because Shen Qinqiu was his friend, he wouldn't act on his feelings and risk ruining his happiness. This Liu Qingge, he really was a good person, wasn't he? Shen Qinqiu wept inside. Liu Qingge looked like a man who truly was walking away from some important corner of happiness in his life as he headed back for the window. Unable to watch Liu Qingge's back as he left, he instead looked at Luo Binghe, who seemed to be having some kind of solemn epiphany himself. Binghe met his gaze. Then he let out a sigh.
Wait.
Liu Qingge paused. His expression turned wary. But Luo Binghe only reached into one of his inner pockets and then pulled out a small red talisman. He held it out pointedly for Liu Qingge to examine, as if to go, "Look, see, it's not cursed." And then took the other man's hand and resolutely dropped it into his palm.
"That will open a portal to take you to my palace. I'll have to tell the servants to recognize you first, or they'll fight you on sight. So don't use it right away, and don't come too often, or you'll make trouble for yourself."
Liu Qingge's eyes widened. So did Shen Qinqiu's.
Then was Luo Binghe? Did you
forget how to do things romantically? Wasn't that a little too begrudging? Shen Qingqiu knew he could be perfectly charming. He'd been subjected to said charm many, many times. So why was he acting like this wasn't even something he was particularly happy to do? As if it wasn't about him and Liu Qingge at all, but instead...
Bing He looked at him and nodded. And suddenly, Shen Qingqiu understood. He really wasn't in love with Liu Qingge. At least, not yet. Maybe not ever, depending on how things went. But Liu Qingge was Shen Qingqiu's friend. Luo Binghe was doing this for him. He couldn't fight back the grateful smile that stole over his features at the gesture. Liu Qingge looked at the talisman, and then at the two of them. He carefully tucked the item into the pouch at his belt, and then, with only a curt nod of acknowledgement, he disappeared back out the window. There was still a door. Did he really have to use the window? Shen Qingqiu watched to make sure that Liu Qingge departed safely. No one was on the street outside, to his relief. Then he shut the window, turned, and walked a few steps to close the distance between himself and Luo Binghe. "Thank you," he said, wrapping his arms around the man. Binghe's throat bobbed as he swallowed. He hugged Shen Qingqiu back tightly.
"There's no need for thanks. This lord can't make Shu Sun's choices for him, and he knows Liu Qingge looked after Shu Sun when this lord couldn't. He'll trust them."
He knew that there weren't many people at all whom Luo Binghe claimed to trust. Shen Qingqiu lifted his head and pressed a grateful kiss to his lips. "Don't invite him to the wedding," he nevertheless requested. He didn't want to think about the possibility of future other men while they were getting married. However long he could keep this man all to himself, he would try for it. Luo Binghe let out an oddly relieved laugh.
"No, the wedding should just be us, no one else at all."
Given the scale of it, that would be very hard to believe as a serious sentiment. But Shen Qingqiu understood. He settled his head against Luo Binghe's shoulder for a moment and let himself hope this would all still work out for everyone, somehow. The wedding really was a lavish affair, with no shortage of guests, most of whom were, of course, demons. Demons could actually be pretty romantic. Who knew? Shen Qingqiu couldn't say he appreciated all the revelry and gestures well enough, though. It was important to Luo Binghe, and that made it important to himself, too. He went through all the rituals, taking care not to make any mistakes, and focused on the various rites, with the same sort of intensity that was usually reserved for impending battles with particularly fierce monsters. But the ceremonies were long and elaborate, and in reality, most of it became something of a blur. His clothes were heavy, the poison in his veins acted up a little, and making his way through entire throngs of demons still left him feeling edgy sometimes. A few things did stand out. Luo Binghe looked entrancing in his wedding attire. The skies above the demonic realm were unusually clear and bright, with the distant edge of fire just making things seem locked in a permanent, scenic sunset. At one point, the thought occurred to him that it was his wedding day. That it was Luo Binghe's wedding day. That they were one and the same, and he was marrying a person he loved. A man from another world.
and his heart felt like it was going to burst. Also, the banquet food was delicious and tasted exactly like Luo Binghe's cooking, and left him wondering when the hell, on top of everything else, Binghe had found the time to cook a banquet for him. But most of what he remembered was technically after the wedding. It was the look in Luo Binghe's eyes when they were alone together. It was the feel of his skin beneath Shen Qinqiu's hands, the heat of his touch as he pulled the wedding clothes from his body, and the softness of the first kiss of the evening before it heated into fervency and desire and heady, intoxicating desperation. It was the way Binghe's face looked in the dim light of the room, with his demon mark shining on his brow, the scent of wedding night oils and the slide of their bodies, the moment when he looked down and thought, "Holy fuck, that is too big," and nearly panicked, until Luo Binghe looked nervously back at him and then promised to go slow. And they actually did manage to go slow. The first round. Shen Qinqiu hoped the fact that his body had already been married, had enjoyed a decade's worth of activity on this front, would make it easier for him. But if it did, he wasn't even sure how to tell. He internally cursed Shang Qinghua for apparently having a grade school standard for what made a male protagonist impressive, as he was stretched open, his heart hammering at the sight of something that big, finally sliding into his body. But to his relief, Luo Binghe actually seemed to know what he was doing. Which was good, because despite all of his internal resolutions to be a responsible sex ed guide, Shen Qinqiu did not know what he was doing, and he had a feeling this all would have been enormously unpleasant if both of them were completely out at sea. Luo Binghe went slow and paused a lot to let him adjust. He peppered kisses across his face and murmured the word husband, as if he still couldn't quite believe he was allowed to use it. Shen Qinqiu lamented that there really didn't seem to be any way of doing this kind of thing while holding on to a shred of dignity. But that lament faltered and then faded into the warm, dark privacy of the bed curtains and the heat in Luo Binghe's eyes and the inescapable intimacy between them. He wanted this. He wanted to lock gazes with Luo Binghe as they became more and more entwined, to feel his hands move to his most sensitive places, to explore his husband in return, as the air between them filled with gasps and moans and whispered entreaties. It was just the two of them, and with Luo Binghe looking at him, Shen Qinqiu found it easy to lose himself in the moment. He brushed a hand across Binghe's face, drinking in the heat of his expression, and ran his tongue across the reddened skin of the lips he'd been kissing. This world hadn't been kind to Luo Binghe. It seemed to always be throwing obstacles in his path, making him face hardships, making him fight. His narrative wasn't really charmed or golden at all, and Shen Qinqiu would hardly consider himself much of a consolation prize in the grand scheme of things. But he knew in his bones that no matter what happened, Luo Binghe would not face any more of it alone.
and neither would he. Was this what it felt like, to be in love with one's husband? No wonder the fear of losing it had driven his predecessor past the brink. Pinghe, he gasped, as their bodies moved together. Luo Pinghe closed his eyes and leaned his face into Shen Qinqiu's touch. He freed a hand so he could grasp his wrist and press desperately sweet kisses to it. His mouth moved with an urgency that he seemed to be denying his lower half as he kept his movements as slow and gentle as he could. Then he released Shen Qinqiu's hand in favor of stroking his straining erection, and all thoughts flew away for a while. When they had both finished for the first round, Luo Pinghe all but collapsed on top of Shen Qinqiu. Shen Qinqiu got a face full of hair and felt a little bit crushed. He could only sigh and rearrange them both a little, as his body felt exhausted and satisfied and spent. Also, weirdly tingly.
"Husband, was it good?"
Luo Pinghe asked him, once they'd caught their breaths a little. Shen Qinqiu's face flamed at the question. Asking so boldly like that, was this man trying to kill him? Wasn't it obvious that it was good? Yes, he could only get out. Luo Pinghe shifted closer and nuzzled at the side of his face, his lips pressed against Shen Qinqiu's cheek.
Did husband like having this lord's cock inside him?
Shen Qinqiu felt like 100 volts of electricity had just jolted through his spine. Pinghe! He scolded in a strangled tone and smacked the back of the other man's shoulder. Unabashed, Luo Pinghe chuckled. His mouth moved towards Shen Qinqiu's ear.
This lord liked being inside of his husband, he confessed.
Shameless! Shen Qinqiu was entirely at a loss for words.
It felt so good. Hot and slick. Shu Tsun's body received me so well. Shu Tsun's husband's voice was so good too. Calling for me. Gasping for me. Oh, this lord wanted to go deeper and harder and hear what sounds he would make. Touch all the places that would make him cry out the best.
Whoa, what the hell? Was this a porno now? What was with this conversation? Shen Qinqiu smacked Luo Pinghe's shoulder again in reproach. His face was flaming, and something mortifying was starting to stir in him again. But he couldn't even find the words to object. Luo Pinghe just chuckled at him again, as if he was somehow cute and not righteously indignant over this man's apparently filthy mouth.
Husband, can we go again?
Luo Pinghe asked him then. Shen Qinqiu's eyes widened in incredulity as Luo Pinghe ground his hips against him, and he realized he was hard again. What the hell kind of refractory period? Had he even gone down? Shang Qinghua was a dead man. Shen Qinqiu shifted his hips. He wasn't uncomfortable. Well, the fluids starting to cool on his skin were, but maybe heating things up a little would help. And Luo Pinghe was looking at him with such an enamored gaze. He really shouldn't encourage him to say those kinds of things.
Frankly, he could kill him on the spot. It was just too much. But any denials died before they reached his lips. Instead, he found himself leaning up to steal a kiss.
We can go again,
he permitted, in a whisper that didn't do anything to preserve his already demolished modesty. Luo Binghe's gaze heated further. He returned the stolen kiss with interest. Shen Qinqiu lifted an arm to wrap around his shoulder, still feeling lazy with his own release. But a gasp escaped him as their lips broke apart with the strong, urgent movement of Luo Binghe's hands that pushed his legs open and settled the lord between his thighs.
Oh, husband, he purred as he entered his body again in one long, deep thrust. Shen Qinqiu gasped. He had the sudden sense that he was in trouble.
It was mitigated somewhat by the white-hot rush of arousal that abruptly banished most of the soft, sated feelings he had previously been enjoying.
Oh, so good,
Binghe said, and pushed his legs even further back. He stopped when Shen Qinqiu settled a nervous hand on his shoulder and then slid his mouth to his throat instead.
Husband, husband, my husband, forgive this servant. He's losing his restraint.
Shen Qinqiu let out a shaky breath that became a cry as the thrusting began. In very short order, he found himself more or less clinging onto Luo Binghe for dear life, as he was fucked into next week. One of his legs remained hitched up by the other man's arm, angling them, so that his inward thrusts managed to hit a spot that sent bright notes of pleasure singing through his body. Some distant corner of his mind noticed that this wasn't really how it should have worked. Luo Binghe couldn't possibly be hitting his prostate. It was too big. It couldn't just be pressure doing the trick with the angle they were at, but he didn't care. If he could claim as a perk from this kind of fictional setting a logically good sex, then that might be one complaint he wasn't going to file, especially not right at that moment. And not when mostly anything could probably be explained by demon sex magic anyway. It was more than a little overwhelming, though. Luo Binghe bit at his neck and shoulder and collarbones, and Shen Qinqiu dug his nails into his back in reproach. The action just provoked a pleased rumble from low in Luo Binghe's chest, far from deterring him, and made his movements all the more desperate. The sound of flesh against flesh was obscene. But thinking that didn't seem to stop Shen Qinqiu from getting hard again. It also couldn't keep his husband's name from spilling out of him, as if he somehow needed to call for the man when it was very obvious just how nearby he was. When Binghe closed a hand around him, Shen Qinqiu tried to choke his gasp against his shoulder. Instead, he ended up letting the broken sound fall right into his husband's ear. Luo Binghe's own movements didn't slow, until Shen Qinqiu felt tears of overstimulation beginning to leak from the corners of his eyes, his poor nerves frayed beyond measure. Binghe, please, It's too much. I can't.
He begged. With a curse, Lord Binghe pulled out of him. The man cried in frustration. He was still hard, pressing against Shen Qinqiu's thighs and shuddering as he held him close and took deep breaths against his hair. Shuzhen, sorry. The servant is sorry. His chest heaved as he settled down, shocked at the sudden cessation of passions. Reaching blearily upwards, he patted the top of Lord Binghe's head. It's all right, Binghe. Just give me a moment. His heart almost cried at that promise. What was he saying? His ass definitely couldn't take any more. Nothing had torn, he didn't think. But hammering on that sweet spot to the point of overdoing it had him feeling like a raw nerve. And yet, lopping her clearly wasn't finished. The thought of leaving him unsatisfied sent a new, different kind of anxiety through his heart. Shuzhen, Lord Binghe murmured. Husband, if a husband could just touch? Oh, that was probably actually a good compromise. Shen Qinqiu recovered enough of his wits and left behind enough of his reservations that he nudged Binghe back so he could close a hand over his cock. It was sticky and slick from the oils they'd used and the first round's evidence, but the skin beneath still felt hot and soft, sensitive. Shen Qinqiu turned his red face aside as he worked his hand up and down the straining length, trying to focus on the sensitive head and base. He listened to what made Binghe's breath hitch and noticed when his hips jerked, trying to memorize what seemed to work best. It wasn't long before his husband was rocking against him again, but this time his straining cock only pressed against Shen Qinqiu's slick palms. Even though it was obvious that this was working for Luo Binghe, he still found himself stroking away until both his wrists were tired. His immortal wrists. What kind of stamina? It frustrated him enough that he found he himself wanted to growl a little too. He tightened his grip, and in a fit of pique over the vagaries of a fantastical sex life, dug his nails into Luo Binghe's back again. The sound and the gesture startled an unexpected mewl from his husband that he only registered a few moments later. Binghe, come, he snapped sharply. It was mostly just that he had really wanted him to finish. Hurry up and come. But to his astonishment, the command wrenched a cry from his husband, and Luo Binghe did exactly as he was told. Sticky white fluid shot out from the head of his cock in ridiculous abundance. Shen Qinqiu hadn't really been able to take note of how much there was when it was, in less visible parts of his body. But even though it was the second time of the night, Binghe's seed managed to splatter across both of their stomachs, even as it got all over his fist and the bedspread and his forearms and chin? Shen Qinqiu stared a little numbly at the aftermath. Oh. What the fuck? He didn't even have the energy to be appropriately surprised. At least the cock in his hands was finally softening. And then, his attention was entirely consumed by the soft, wrecked little noise that escaped Luo Bingher's throat as he leaned heavily against him.
"Husband," the man murmured, as if pleading for something.
Getting his hold on Luo Bingha, Shen Qinqiu started stroking his back. He pressed a kiss to the nearest patch of skin he could reach.
"Good, good. Bingha did so well," he praised.
"Really well. Holy shit." That was apparently just what was needed. A soft sigh escaped Luo Bingha, and Shen Qinqiu felt his heart melt, even as his hips and wrists ached. He let the weight of their embrace carry them back down to the mattress. They definitely needed to clean up, but all he had the energy to do was brush their hair away from their faces. Luo Bingha was looking at him with hooded, contented eyes, completely boneless.
"This lord likes when his husband gets bossy," he confessed.
Shen Qinqiu picked up a cushion and covered his own face with it.
"Don't say things like that," he protested, although it was somewhat lost in the thick material.
Luo Bingher snuggled closer and pressed tired kisses to the back of the hand holding the cushion.
"Bingher, that hand was filthy!"
"Why is husband hiding? No one else is here. This lord won't tell anyone his husband's secrets."
Slowly, Shen Qinqiu found the cushion tugged out of his increasingly lax hold. It slid down, revealing the sight of Luo Bingher's disheveled face peering happily back at him.
"My lord is too shameless," he groused.
Luo Bingher, to his consternation, leaned in and sweetly kissed the space between his eyebrows.
"What's there to be ashamed of? We're married, aren't we?"
Shen Qinqiu didn't have a good answer to that, but it seemed he didn't need one. Luo Bingha didn't press the matter at all, and instead just flung the cushion away and snuggled up as if they weren't both sweaty and disgustingly encrusted by then. Too tired to complain, Shen Qinqiu just decided to take a few moments to properly admire the broad chest beneath his cheek. His eyelids drooped as his limbs went heavy. He'd nearly fallen asleep when Luo Bingha gently lifted one of his wrists and began to check his pulse. The gesture confused him for an embarrassingly long moment before he suddenly remembered. Right, the poison.
Later, he requested,
gently trying to pull his wrist back. Later, he'd submit to poking and prodding and circulating his chi, and they could check his reactions and maybe even find a good healer to triple check. But he was fairly certain that Shang Qinghua knew his business on this front, so for the time being, he just wanted to rest. Luo Bingha slid his hold up from his pulse towards his hand, however, and then pressed a kiss to his pulse point instead. The red mark on his brow seemed a little brighter than usual.
"All right," the lord murmured in agreement. His mouth lingered on Shen Qinqiu's skin.
The kisses started to spread down the inside of his arm as Luo Bingher's other hand trailed steadily up and down his side. After a few minutes of this, the kisses moved over to his neck.
Husband, Luo Bingher said.
Shen Chenqiu
wanted to cry.
They'd already done it twice. What was with that tone?
He was even panicking a little. There was no chance he'd be able to keep up with Luo Bingher at this rate.
Maybe, just to be safe, husband should come inside this lord, too.
Shen Qinqiu's eyes snapped open. Had he heard that right? Blinking rapidly a few times, he pulled back enough to look Luo Bingha in the face.
Bingha, you want that?
He asked, tripping over his own tongue. His husband nodded, expression shifting from something tentative into something warm and sultry, something that made even Shen Qinqiu's exhausted lower region try valiantly to perk up in interest again. His nerves perked up as well, unfortunately. The thought of doing it wrong sent a dozen warning signs blaring in his head. He'd read up on the topic before he'd transmigrated, of course, but it seemed that in this world, things worked differently, so who even knew what his limited knowledge might be lacking? What if he hurt Bingha? A moment later, he realized it was something of a moot point. Despite his stomach warming and heart thumping at the prospect, the rest of him was still thoroughly spent. He glanced at his uncooperative parts and then cleared his throat.
This husband might not be able to accommodate such a request tonight, he admitted.
And now he'd gone from being embarrassed about all the sex they were having to being ashamed of all the sex they couldn't have because he had a normal dick. It really wasn't fair for him to feel emasculated just by being average. Luo Bingha seemed to suddenly realize the direction of his thoughts and hastened to reassure him.
This lord was too greedy. Husband should rest. Other things can wait until he's ready again.
Shen Qinqiu sighed.
Sorry to disappoint. No. How could husband ever disappoint? He's only too scintillating. This lord can't get enough.
Luo Bingha said, settling a hand on his face. The sincerity of his tone finally calmed some of Shen Qinqiu's nerves again. It was easy to get lost in his thoughts about how things should go or what to expect. But in the end, he thought to himself, it was him and Bingha. They could figure things out. A fond look came into his eyes, and he cozied back up to the other man again. Bingha is very insatiable, he mused, in a more relaxed and playful tone. At that, however, it was Luo Bingha's turn to look uncertain.
Is it bad? He asked.
Shen Qinqiu blinked, and then bobbed his head in mock rebuke. Is it bad? He asks. Of course it's not bad. What kind of person doesn't wish to be desired by their handsome and wonderful husband? The sour feeling in his chest eased, as almost at once, Luo Bingher's uncertainty vanished. He had to choke back an undignified squawk even, as he nearly had the life squeezed out of him by a hug.
Shutsun thinks I'm wonderful.
The terrifying demon lord, scourge of hell's furthest corners, exclaimed delightedly. Shen Qinqiu sighed and patted at his bicep.
Of course I do.
Shutsun.
Mm-mm. Husband, he corrected.
Husband,
Luo Bingha obediently amended before peppering him with kisses.
Even if this lord becomes insatiable, it is only for everything to do with his husband. So even if we can't do this or that, then this lord will always be content to bask in his husband's company, or lay in his arms, or listen to his voice. Shen Qinqiu's throat felt a little thick. He cleared it.
Bingha.
Oh, I know. Lord Bingha carried on with a gleam in his eyes. Husband, leave it to me. This will be good.
Before Shen Qinqiu could interrogate that potentially ominous assertion, Luo Binghe jumped up from the bed and then promptly scooped him up into his arms. The shift was surprising enough that Shen Qinqiu flailed a little and had to hastily regain what composure he could as, alarmingly, his naked and filthy husband began to carry his equally naked and filthy self towards the door of their bedchamber.
Wait, Binghe, we're not fit to be seen.
Luo Binghe grinned at him. It showed off a cute canine tooth.
It's all right, husband. No one will see us. This lord will signal to stay away.
Signal? What? Shen Qinqiu opened his mouth to protest further, but then shut it again when a sudden wave of malevolent energy unfurled out from the demon lord who was carrying him. His blood went cold for just a moment. But then he blinked, and somehow, even though he could still detect it, the sense of malevolence seemed wholly irrelevant to him. Despite the tone of it, Luo Binghe was smiling serenely as well, and his eyes crinkled in happiness, his lips still swollen from kisses. Shen Qinqiu did not want to admit how confused he was, so in the end, he just stayed quiet. Luo Binghe carried him out of their rooms and down a small corridor which led to the indoor heated pool he had triumphantly finished installing not too long ago. The light bulb went off then. The malevolent energy was something that any of the palace demons would probably fall all over themselves to avoid, so they had no risk of running into someone else as long as Luo Binghe was projecting that sort of energy. And the brilliant idea that his husband seemed to have had was to take a bath together. Shen Qinqiu felt his heart softening all over again. For someone who could say such filthy things, Luo Binghe still got excited over surprisingly sweet gestures all the same. But on that thought, he realized how utterly itchy he was getting in some places and was more than happy to be lowered into the heated pool. He reached for some soap. Binghe's hand stopped him.
Husband, let me, he requested.
Shen Qinqiu hummed in concession but still picked up the soap anyway. At his husband's pout, he chuckled.
If Binghe takes care of me, then I'll take care of him, too, he vowed.
The pout vanished. Unfortunately, despite his bold claims, after hours of marital ceremonies and the explosive loss of his virginity, well, maybe not technically, but in the spirit of things, Shen Qinqiu's claim was perhaps too bold. The warm water lulled him, and the gentle touch of Luo Binghe's hands washing away the evidence of their activities relaxed him even further. He put in a solid effort at getting the other man clean, but he was nowhere near even before he had to admit defeat and just lean against his shoulder. Binghe kissed his brow.
It's all right, husband. Looking after you helps sate me, too.
Shen Qinqiu was too tired to voice his skepticism, but he conveyed it in a look. Luo Binghe huffed a laugh at him.
It's true. This is calming. Sometimes this lord's demon blood makes him feel a keen hunger for things. When we were doing those activities before, the hunger was to do more and more of them. But now that we're doing this, it's what this lord wants to do more and more of instead. It's good. A sound of vague understanding escaped him. Demons had caretaking instincts? He probably shouldn't have been all that surprised about it. He'd lived among them for more than a year, after all, and seen them act very human in a lot of unexpected ways. But sometimes it was still easy to fall into the trap of thinking that everything relatable and reasonable about Bingha was a human trait, and everything unpleasant or worrisome was a demon one.
Husband,
Bingha hummed. The warm water sloshed quietly, and even though Shen Qinqiu was clean, gentle hands still brushed a soft cloth over his skin. Luo Bingha pressed a few more kisses to him.
Just rest. This servant will see to everything.
They really did spoil one another, he couldn't help but think. At some point, in the bath, his eyes drifted closed, and his thoughts vanished into hazy contentment. When he woke up, apart from some soreness in his backside, he felt like he tended to feel after a particularly good workout, as if he'd done a lot, but also as if it had gone very well. There were a lot of embarrassing love bites on his skin. The morning light told him it wasn't very early, but despite Luo Bingha's habit of getting up with the sun, the man was stretched out onto the bed beside him. Round three happened shortly after Shen Qinqiu looked over to see if he was awake and saw the absolutely besotted expression on his face. It was a lot harder to deal with his embarrassment in broad daylight. He had to keep reminding himself that they'd done lewder things only a few hours ago, that it shouldn't still feel entirely new. But then there was Bingha and Bingha's mouth, and everything was so stark and clear, and Shen Qinqiu wasn't sure whether the racket clattering in the back of his mind was more nerves or excitement. When he tried to return the favour, he couldn't at all look at his husband's face. The tool between his legs seemed even bigger in daylight. Shen Qinqiu reached over and pulled one of the curtains shut again. It helped a little, made it feel more private again. He wouldn't have said he actually succeeded very well at giving the nuclear warhead that his husband was packing a blowjob, but he got his mouth on it, and Luo Bingha came, and didn't seem to have a single complaint, so A for effort? Shen Qinqiu didn't know if he'd ever be able to look the man in the eye again at first, but after another hour or so of aggressive cuddling and coaxing, he found he could manage it.
Husband's technique is not lacking,
Luo Bingha said, in a tone that implied he was going to find someone and somehow pick a fight about it. Shen Qinqiu would be lying if he said it wasn't reassuring, at least. He patted the other man's chest. As long as Bingha thinks so, that's all that matters, he decided. At this sentiment, Luo Bingha seemed to almost puff up like a satisfied bird. He smiled and caught Shen Qinqiu's hand so they could tangle their fingers together, before pressing some kisses to the backs of his knuckles.
Does husband like this servant's technique too?
The man just had to go and ask him then. It's terrible, he deadpanned automatically. He had a half second to worry that the joke would be mistaken for serious criticism before Bingha laughed.
His eyes were bright, and his cheeks were still flushed.
Then this humble servant will just have to get in a lot of practice, he said, staring dreamily at their locked hands. Lots and lots of practice.
Shen Qingqiu bobbed his head. Shameless, he accused, too fondly.
There's nothing to be ashamed of, Luo Binghe replied, as if they were agreeing on a sentiment.
He smiled at Shen Qingqiu with a look that made his heart skip a few beats. But then his expression settled into something more serious.
This lord swears he will never give husband a reason to regret choosing him.
Shen Qingqiu's throat got a little thick. He couldn't even pretend it was only from all the activities they'd been doing. Determination of his own stole over him, and he tightened his grip on Luo Binghe's hand in return.
And I as well. I mean, this husband will do his best to be worthy of Binghe's regard.
Luo Binghe's eyes watered a little. Oh, shit.
Shutsun, he said.
Husband, Shen Qingqiu mentally corrected. This man, he'd utterly ruined the word Shutsun for him, really. He sighed as he found himself squished against the bed again, arms full of emotional, sticky Luo Binghe.
Sticky in more than one sense now.
They needed another bath.
His face flushed up to the tips of his ears, while his husband, heedless, insisted in no uncertain terms that Shen Qingqiu was worthy of any regard and was good and wonderful and also Luo Binghe's favourite person in all the world who had ever lived forever. Such a hassle to be adored so completely. He absolutely did not cry back at the man, even if it was a near thing. This emotional openness business was something they could work on, in different directions, maybe. Not that he imagined he could ever really bring himself to make Luo Binghe tone it down in earnest.
I am so glad,
he did find himself thinking, however.
I am so glad you are my husband.
The end. You've just finished listening to I Wish You Were My Husband. If you enjoyed the story, please leave Fae Knight some feedback on Archive of Our Own. And if you enjoyed my reading of the story, please leave me some feedback at Archive of Our Own as Lunchy or on Twitter as Lunchy_pods. The music used in this recording were ripped off of YouTube, and unfortunately the YouTube videos did not credit any of the music or any of the titles of the songs, beyond stuff like 1 hour of relaxing traditional Chinese instrumental blah 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 blah. The song that was just playing before this credit sequence was, I found out, called A Maiden's Love, or maybe The Love of a Young Girl. It appears the translators didn't agree with each other. And finally, some reader free talk. Hi, this is Lunchy. If you've heard some of my free talks from previous podfix that I've done, you'll know that I generally do it by myself, just like spewing my thoughts about the particular project. For the end of Husbands, however, I decided that I was going to edit the final scene of chapter 5 live in the podfic Discord chat and follow that up by doing a live recording of my free talk for the project. So you're about to hear a one-sided conversation where you'll get to hear what I was saying into the microphone, but not what people were saying back to me for certain things that were not able to be captured just from my side of the conversation or come in and summarize what went on. But this is going to be a far more conversational style of free talk than my normal fare. So yeah, I hope you enjoy. This is the chain of events as I recall it. So I remember going into like Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji. Oh, okay, there's not too much here. Well, this author wrote some other things. Possibly it's in the same vein. I wonder what's happening over there. So I jump into... Oh, and of course there would have been, at the time, there would have been a lot of crossover as well. Like there was heaps of like MXTX crossover. So any of the Lan Wangji and Wei Wuxian stuff also would have had like a Luo Bingha and Shen Qinqiu tag in it as well. So I got, like, I saw enough of that and I'm like, okay, I'll have a look at that. And I get in there and then I'm like, oh my God, this person, Fey Knight, they've written like 100,000 words of incredibly detailed world building and beautiful storytelling. And I think the first thing that I read of theirs was like, I don't think they ever finished it, but like, what if Shen Yuan, like as Shen Qinqiu, got kidnapped and was brought into Bingge's universe? Like, so he was successful in kidnapping Shen Yuan from Bingmei. And it got to a really dark part where, like, Bingge had broken, like, Shen Qinqiu's legs. I don't know. Is this a fever dream? But I remember, like, them posting that. So it was very canonical. They were like, and now for something completely different. And they started to upload Husbands, which was AU. And I was like, oh, great. Because, like, I got some things from reading. Because I'm a person who doesn't necessarily need to look at the source material before I jump straight into the fandom. And because Fey Knight's writing was the way that it is, I was able to glean through osmosis, like, okay, so this plot point must have happened and that plot point must have happened. Like, these are the things that possibly what the characters must have been like. So, yeah, then Husbands happened. And I don't know if I was like from the start, perhaps like maybe when they'd already started to post like either chapter 2 or 3 and just going like, wow, followed it. It ended and I took my sweet ass time. I think we talked about it in the chapter 3 free talk, like when I actually asked permission for it. And it was quite a while before I actually started to post the project onto AO3 itself for public consumption. Because before that, my project before this was a BTS podfic, and that was also like 6 to 8 hours or something like that. I can't remember if it was like 60 or 80,000 words. So in the midst of doing that, and I got like really stuck at one point, and I thought, I'm really stuck here. I may as well like try to unstuck myself by like reading something that may flow more a bit for me. And that ended up being Fey Knight's Husband's podfic, which meant that then I was like, oh God, I'd recorded perhaps like 2 chapters already before I finished the BTS podfic. And I thought, okay, well, I can't post this until I finish posting the BTS podfic. So it was like it was impetus as well to finish the BTS podfic so I could finally show like Husbands to the world. Because I was also coming off the back of like having to abandon one of the Yuri and Ice works that I had been posting as a work in progress. So I just like, no, you need to finish posting this because there is every possibility that you won't finish. So just made sure that I didn't do that and then started to post Husbands. But before it got onto AO3, I had started to share it with UA and with Lavender Frost, and they'd given me really positive feedback about it. So they made me feel really good about it. And I'm like, oh, great. Because I'm like, this is really like this story is really to my taste. I know it's to a lot of other people's tastes as well, because it's a very highly kudoed work in this niche fandom. And although like Lavender Frost and UA had like some guardianness in them at this point,
not so much the historical Chinese drama type stuff yet. So they gave me really positive feedback.
Editing Lenchi here. At this point in the conversation, Lavender Frost corrects me and says that, in fact, by this point, The Untamed had come out and she had watched the MDZS animation with me. I had remembered incorrectly because
I must have abstained from The Untamed for a really long time because I remember feeling like so like, no, I'm not doing this. Lanjian looks totally wrong. Because once it actually got on Netflix and like the subtitling, like I dipped my toe in and I'm like, oh good, the subtitling is right. Like it's fine. That's when I'm like, oh good. Because for me, like the, you know, the text makes up like 80% of my enjoyment. Yes, I like the Untamed sets are unbelievably beautiful, but that can't feed me. So I actually need it to read really well, or to at least like I need it to read to a certain standard where I feel like it's legible in order to keep going. Okay, so that was the sequence of events. Like I hadn't finished posting the BTS podfic or finished working on the BTS podfic, but I'd started already working on the husband's podfic. And the husband's podfic, I remember when I was reading Faye Knight's work and just thinking like, this person is writes like someone that I've never read before, like has this incredible style. So perhaps this is like, you know, something that's common in like, because I don't know what nationality Faye Knight is. Like, I don't know if they've got like Chinese roots or whatever it is, but I just remember thinking like they have a really like exposition type style. And generally when you do exposition dump, it doesn't work very well for me because it's just like blah, blah information. But her style of doing it was like, oh, there's like information dump, but you also get some character growth, like reflections of what the character thinks of this. And ultimately, like they just write fantastic unreliable narrator, which is my ultimate weakness. At the end of this, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, this has to happen. So that's really what got me into it. Of course, like, oh, and of course, like I spent a long time resisting wanting to podfic it because of the Chinese names. Since when I started reading it, there were no, like, yeah, there was the MDZS animation, but that's 20 minutes of like very focused dialogue. And not necessarily calling people's names and stuff like that. But then but then after like The Untamed started going and I actually started like watching and listening to it and I could actually hear more of the pronunciation and stuff like that. So there's a huge difference in pronunciation from probably like chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3 simply because I was like getting way more used to hearing the sound and being able to replicate the sound, I think. At least that's like sort of my memory. Yeah, that's my memory of it. Because there were pronunciation guides readily available. So people were saying the names in isolation and also then I could hear it like in its natural form, as natural as like hearing it in a drama is going to get. That was really important. Like, yeah, being able to access so many different references for how to say the names. And I finally, but like the big thing for me was like, I didn't want to offend anybody by like mispronouncing the names up the wazoo. So I needed to be somewhat confident in that. And that confidence sort of came with like, okay, listening to The Untamed in its Mandarin form and being able to like source some of the audio dramas for MDZS. And unfortunately for like Scum Villain, like TikTok, where is it? Where's the, you know, there was a manhwa that got discontinued because of something. They were going to make an animation that hasn't surfaced. So what ended happening was I put out a call on Twitter for somebody to help me with the pronunciation of names, and Astria replied back. They recorded me the names that I needed, thank God. And so I was able to just like, yeah, listen to them, repeat what I think they heard. I heard, listen to them, repeat it again until I was like somewhat like, okay, I think this is what I'm hearing and stuff. So definitely didn't consult like any sort of like, oh, there are 4 or 5 tones in Mandarin, so these are what the tones sound like. No, I didn't do any of that. I just was like, I'm just going to listen to you and just repeat exactly what I think I hear you say. And so that's how I did it. This experience has also been quite unlike a lot of other work in progress experiences because of the reception of this podfic as it was getting posted. I was getting, for whatever reason, like it's in the middle of a boom right now, maybe. Like, but people were like, yeah, we have a dearth of content. We need you. Please make some more stuff. And there were some really wonderful comments that I got that were really, like, you know, motivating for me to, like, keep going. And also this is helped by the fact, like, I think by the time that I'd actually started posting chapter one, I already probably had up to chapter four recorded. So really all that was left for me to do was do chapter four and five at the very least, I say, as though that's not 60% of the story. Also, if you're listening to this in the future, like, the other thing that happened during the recording of this story is COVID-19. Yeah, COVID-19 is currently happening. It's cleared up a lot of time for me to, like, dedicate to a hobby, for sure, and also experiment with different ways of, like, yeah, getting to record podfic, because generally I think of it as a very solitary exercise where I can, like, you know, do whatever I want and sort of abide by no one, like, the author can't touch me, that sort of thing. And, like, podfic Discord sort of shaped my feeling on that a little bit more. It's very nice to, like, sort of see in chat people responding real time with gifts and comments to, like, things that are happening in the story. I feel very proud of that. Like, I don't know if I should, because it's not my words, but it is my performance. So I have a mixed feeling towards that. And I'm very grateful for people who've been rocking up, like Vodka112, Cammy Lurks on Twitter, obviously, Enabler Cheerleader number one, IV0611, aka Levendefrost, aka Chicken, Dancing Butterfly, Blue Geeky M, thanks to the previous two guys for, like, popping in despite not knowing anything about Scumvillain, didn't even know what I was recording, and just was, like, along for the ride for a while. Thank you guys. Also want to thank wonderful repeat commenters in AO3. Once again, Vodka112, killing it in the commenting game. Thank you. Definitely gave me, thank you. Like, the thing is, like, podfic doesn't get a lot of recognition/feedback. And, like, at this point, it's like, well, that's just the way it is. So that's what really surprised me about starting to post this series, is that, wow, you guys really, like, you know, you really brought it, like, oh, this is a really different experience from what generally happens. So Vodka, Lenuit Noor, who told me that one of my chapters, there was a couple of clipping sounds in that, and I was able to fix that. So thank you so much for that. Pens87, who I think, like, possibly has commented, like, on every chapter that came out, Lime Dumpler, Onion Boy, Como Pinecone Seeds, who's been, oh my gosh, they have been so helpful with pronunciation. Thank you so much for taking the time to write these, like, detailed comments about, like, how I could improve the pronunciation and what you were doing and, like, how emotional you were getting. I think at one point they said that, like, they were listening to the fight scene between Shen Xinqiu and Yue Jingyuan, where they're like, why didn't you want to have a baby? This is why you didn't ever want to have a baby. And they had to, like, stop washing their dishes because they were, like, getting a bit too intense. So that was really sweet. So thank you so much. I'm going to remember that was so, you know, motivating to keep going. And for a variety of factors, now, like, on the 11th of April in Australia, like, it's done. So here are some things that I particularly enjoyed about the podfic and about the story, and really wanted to get it across. And so of course, number one is, like, Shen Xinqiu's unreliable narration, right? So he's so dense. He's just so, and it's like this sort of canon parallel where he believes, like, he knows where this story is going, and he believes in narrative destiny. So he's like, he is misconstruing all of what Luo Binghe is, like, all the signals that he's throwing out, and just going, like, oh, something else is happening. And, oh, I have to look after this side character. Oh, he doesn't. Oh, wow. He really likes Liu Qingge, you know, Wei Wuxian style. Oh, wow. Lan Wenji, I guess you really like Mian Mian. Like, yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah. During the bride stealing scene, where Shen Xinqiu was, like, utterly convinced that Luo Binghe is coming to steal Liu Qingge,
Even when he's confronted with the fact that Loving Her is going to steal him, he's like, wow, he wants to take his old teacher away. What a great student. He's so filial. I remember having a very visceral reaction of like, can you please get a clue? Please get a clue by four. There's an officious and grand procession in an event called bride stealing. There is a garden with plants and flowers and fish from the mortal realm. Wow, how cool. No underlying reason why someone would bother doing all of that. Living quarters that imitate the Euro estate. Tons of pillows that I like to lounge in. Wow, he must have missed like what soft pillows were like when he was in hell. Gosh. Anyway, Shin Chin Chiu, you dumb bitch. I love you, but you dumb bitch.
Editing Lunchy here again. At this point in the conversation, people in the chat remind me of sassy gay best friend, which is where you dumb bitch comes from. A series of literary heroines who do dumb stuff because nobody is there to intervene. And who better than a sassy gay best friend? If you've not had the pleasure of experiencing sassy gay best friend, please Google it and improve your life.
Sassy gay friend! Yes, sassy gay friend. Shen Qinqiu, you needed one. Shang Qinghua was also a dumb gay bitch, so he also needs his own sassy gay best friend. Liu Qingge was not a dumb bitch. He was willfully ignorant. He was choosing not to open that door, which I really appreciated. That was like my next point was like, I really enjoyed doing Liu Qingge's POV a lot. You see him fall in love with Shen Qinqiu and be a dumb bitch. He doesn't come right out and ask him why he doesn't want to sleep with Liu Qingge, but because his rationale is it's better not to ask. But like, how about you stop torturing yourself, you dumb bitch? But you have all this sort of political reasoning about why he doesn't do it. Perhaps his status also prevents him from doing such things. And there's this beautiful moment in chapter 5 where him and Luo Bingher are having that discussion without, like, with Shen Qinqiu in the room, being a dumb bitch, not realizing he's the son they both revolve around, looking at each other and going, like, he's not marrying you because you're already married. Guess what? You don't have status. And just having like a dick waving contest at each other and Liu Qingge going like, yeah, but guess what? You said you could take care of him. I don't see you doing that. And just declaring to Shen Qinqiu before he like yeets out the window, listen, if there's ever a time I'm getting in on this, like I'm going to take the opportunity to do it. And Shen Qinqiu was like, wow, what a great friend. You dumb bitch!
At this point in the chat, people reflect on this behaviour of Shen Qinqiu's and say that this really captures the queer experience. AKA, is this person flirting with me or are they just being friendly? I don't think to mention it at the time, but I really appreciate this insight because it's not something that I had thought of myself.
That conversation scene with Bingher, Qingge and Shen Qinqiu was like one of my favorites. There's so many things happening in that scene. So many things happening. Shen Qinqiu mistaking his feelings of still wanting him to be with Luo Bingher, but holding, like, he's mistaking Liu Qingge's intentions and motivations as, like, he does actually like Luo Bingher, but he's holding back on account of his friendship with Shen Qinqiu. And that was just top quality, unreliable narrator, because wow. I remember thinking, like, when I was deciding on Shen Qinqiu's voice, like, he is a dumb bitch, but he presents himself as canonically and also in this one, you know, you have to pretend that he knows what he, like, he's full of authority and elegant and, like, immortal and all that sort of thing. So he can't present himself as having doubts or any of that sort of thing. So that's where kind of his voice develops. And I was always conscious in every single scene where he was getting stuff wrong, that what he was actually saying was like the other person could mistake that as like him following their train of thought in the conversation, when really he's having his own private mental breakdown and he's not listening to what they're saying. But it's still like the conversation is still continuing with that person thinking, oh, he gets what I mean. But Shen Qinqiu was like, what the ever millennial fuck? What's happening right now?
which was really lovely to be able to perform and read out. And there were so many more instances of that that I got to experience when doing the podfic, because I wasn't just like skimming through it and like really enjoying the parts that I was enjoying. Like, it was just, it was everywhere. He was doing that everywhere. And I really, really liked that a lot. One of the best changes that Fey Knight made to canon was that Bingha did accept Madame Mei Ying's tutelage from whatever sex academy, and therefore he is actually a good lover, unlike their canonical first experience together in a coffin. Pour one out for Madame Mei Ying. She's doing God's work. She's doing fandom's work. We don't want to read lubeless sex. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. No one's tearing. No one's bleeding. Please, God, stop that. It's not going to hurt the first time, okay? Please. Okay. And then I guess lastly, the last thing I'm going to say is right now we're currently doing a podcast with a bunch of other podfickers talking about sex. And I was thinking about like, oh, okay, you know, normally I talk about how the sex scene is how I do it generally and what my feelings are. And I can't remember if it was on record. So I'll say it like when I realized that because I knew that the story was rated E, but I couldn't remember how many sex scenes there were. And I get all the way to like the end of like chapter 4, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, at the end of chapter 4, no sex. Chapter 5, no sex. I wonder where the sex scene is. Meanwhile, Mel Lavender Frost is cackling in the background because apparently she knows exactly where the sex scene is and just cannot wait for me to stumble across it. And I'm like, okay, I have 2 sessions in the Podfic Discord where I'm reading the final part of chapter 5 and there's no sex scene. And I'm like, all right, I don't know where it is, for real. And then we get to Law Bingha and Shen Qinqiu getting married finally. Like, they've finally cleared things up. He finally accepts that Law Bingha loves him and only him, and Liu Qingge is not going to steal him away, or at least not now. And they get married. And when I get to oh, it's their wedding day. I'm excitedly like DMing Lavender Frost. Hey, I got to like their wedding. It's 4% from the end of the story. And then I keep going and I'm like, oh, the rest of this is sex. Oh, I see. So I think that's karma, that Lavender Frost was asleep while that was happening. Too bad, so sad. And in this vein of calling Lavender Frost out, so she went on and did a cover free talk with me at the end of chapter 3. And at the end of chapter 3, afterwards, she's gone, wait, but I want to fix it. I want to add mountains into the back of the podfic cover. And I say, yeah, we can do that. And she's like, but not if you're, and I'm like, yeah, if you want to add mountains to it, we can add mountains to it. And so now please go and check your files again, because we have replaced it. Now there are mountains in the background of the podfic cover. So I realized, okay, I got 4% of the text left. This can't be that many minutes. And then I get on the Discord and I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably like 20 to 30 minutes or something. And I calculate the amount of length that I have. It's 40 minutes. I'm like, oh, I spent 10 minutes for each percent of this last 4%, which is quite a lot. That signals to me that I took a lot of liberties during the sex scene. Drew a lot of things out. Threw in a lot of extra moaning, threw in a lot of whatever, played around with the sex scene a lot. There was a lot of drawn out sequences, so you could really just marinate in Shen Qinqiu's shame. So we're having this chat between like some other podfickers, and I know that it can be really difficult to comment about a sex scene because you may have more shame than I do and don't want to publicly announce, hey, I listened to the sex scene and it was quite good and here's a gif of like a jizzing cock, you know, like maybe you have more shame than that. So what I will say is that, you know, you don't have to mention it. It's totally fine. Just in the comment, if you want to like leave an eggplant emoji and only an eggplant emoji, I'll know what it means. I'll get it. That's enough for me. You know, your kind words are enough for me. Your eggplant emojis are enough for me. At the end of the fic in the author's notes, Fey Knight does say, like, well, I want to say this is the end, but actually I'm writing extras. So at this point, Fey Knight's probably doubled the word count of the original story with the amount of extras that they are in the process of writing. So the question of whether or not I am going to record the extras is, I might pick and choose. Yeah, I might pick and choose some extras to do, like, that particularly, like, appeal to me. And just, like, now that the main story is done, like, in podfic form, I don't see a reason why, like, other podficers couldn't come in and claim, like, some of the extra stories for themselves, you know, and just, like let's get this round robin happening. Let's get, like, you know, let's get these things out in an audio form if that's what people want. But at least I could do, like, you know, like, he dimension hops into the current universe and then gets driven back by Bing Mei. Like, so at least that could happen. Reincarnation of Shen Jiu could happen. At least just, like, the one where, because I love the scene where he gets really emotional about Bun Bun dying. I was thinking about, like, what kind of voice am I going to give Ah Jiu? Because he's a saucy wench. Like, I need to give him some kind of, I don't know what kind of voice is going to come out. Like, generally the voice comes pretty naturally after I, like, once sort of the dialogue sort of creeping in. So yeah, that's definitely a possibility. The Ah Jiu reincarnation chapter one extra. At this point in the chat, I also get a request to consider podficking the dragon AU that Fey Knight has written. And I am more than happy to do a lot more of Fey Knight's work if they're amenable to letting me giving me permission to do so. But in regards to the Dragon AU, although I find it absolutely crushing, emotionally devastating, and I love it, it's not currently finished. It doesn't have a satisfactory endpoint as far as I can recall. Maybe I'm wrong about that. You can tell me if it has a satisfactory endpoint. So I don't feel comfortable starting to record something if it doesn't have a satisfactory conclusion. And more to that, I don't want to promise you guys, like, more Fey Knight if it might not be forthcoming. So please take that with a grain of salt. I would love to do more, but it just depends. So one last thing before this free talk is over. I was pleasantly surprised by how many listeners commented back and said that they were a fan of the Shang Qinghua voice that I gave him during this podfic. I thought I would give you an insight into why he sounds the way that he sounds. Partially, this has to do with Fey Knight's writing. Of course, she does write him with hesitations. Partly, this is because he's often represented as a hamster, which I kind of feel is like a prey animal. And also for the humor factor, I thought it was just really funny to have somebody who kind of talks a little bit, you know, against someone like Shen Xinqiu, who is like, tell me now what's happening, you know, straight man comedy, I guess. It's also a representation of how much confidence Shang Qinghua does not have in himself. So that's a part of why his voice is kind of hesitant and, you know, a bit pleasing, obsequious, you might say, really wishes to ingratiate himself to you. There's also this image in my head when he's talking with Shen Xinqiu. He's basically going through a whole, like, 2-3-4 minute monologuing at Shen Xinqiu, and I imagine, like, him desperately trying to explain something and just getting more and more anxious as time goes on, because Shen Xinqiu is not giving him anything back. So when you're in a situation where, like, you're talking but the other person isn't talking, you tend to overcompensate by, like, blurting out way more information than the other person needs. So that was my conceptualization of what was happening in those scenes. Shang Qinghua is being intimidated by Shen Xinqiu's silence and therefore is really anxious during these times, which is sort of, yeah, reflected in, like, well, why is this monologue going for such a long time? Yeah, I mean, it is going to be an
an exposition dump, but there needs to be a reason why there isn't like a more back and forth that you would normally expect from a conversation. So all of these factors together made me decide, okay, this is what Xiang Qinghua is going to sound like. And it was a really pleasant surprise to find that a lot of listeners really enjoyed him. And if they didn't think that he was funny beforehand, suddenly he was like, oh, he's my favorite. I like hearing him in the podfic. So thanks so much for that wonderful feedback. If you're listening to this during COVID-19 isolation time, I hope you're safe and well and your family and friends are safe and well. Please leave comments, kudos, drop that eggplant emoji. Thanks so much for listening and be safe. Bye.